Father, with the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord with you.
Good
morning, everyone.
Good morning.
In our celebrations around Christmas, today we celebrate the solemnity of Epiphany of the Lord, what we usually call three wise men or three kings coming to visit Jesus at the manger. We also want to go there and present Jesus not gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but our hearts clean and open for him. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw the star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for this child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Like two boxers in a ring during a boxing match. The spirit of the world battles the spirit of the Lord in us. And that ring is our soul. Where there's always a winner, either by knockout or by decision, but there has to be a winner. And in turning away from the Lord, when we perhaps don't agree with God's teachings or the way things are going in our lives, we tend to sometimes turn to other things: sin, anxiety, worry, depression. Those are all natural emotions, but if we concentrate and stay there, then we are beginning to be of the world. There's two forces in our souls. One is where man is the center of the world. I am the center of the universe. That for me, me, and me, and me. The other one is that God is the center of the world. That everything that he ordains, that everything that he permits, from the beginning of time, whether we understand it or not, whether we like it or not, has been ordained for our good, his holy will, that before creation was ordained to deify us. He made us because he loved us. He loved us so much that he wants to share our nature. Not like the birds and the bees. Everything reflects God in nature, in creation. From the molecules to the ants, to the antelopes, to everything. But we reflect God, because we are made in his image.
we share the very face and the image of God. So this tension in our lives is where man is the center or God is the center. That today is what the Epiphany does for us. Out of the blue, out of something totally unexpected. I mean, who does that? Who ordains himself to be born in a stable? There wasn't any kind of like utility room anywhere, any of the inns, any of the hotels in Bethlehem, that they had to end up in a smelly, stinking stable with animals. That is to show us that amidst every disorder that can happen in the world, whether in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, the unchangeable, the constant, the only constant in our lives is Jesus Christ. Is God that made us, and God that loves us, and God that redeems us. And we have to constantly rise above the spirit of the world that tells us, well, how can a God be so good that he allows so much evil? How can a God be so good that allows so much disease in children? Well, the saints help us with that. In refusing to know the Lord, we are then going towards the other camp, which is Satan, that whispers, that tells you, there can't be a God with so much suffering, so much disorder. But it is the message of the newborn king, St. Louis de Montfort states, that the cross is the greatest secret that the newborn king brings. The babe brings the secret of the cross. Because he was not born in silk and gold. The frankincense and the myrrh and what they brought in the gifts were presented to him as he lay in hay, in poverty. The mystery of the rosary, of the joyful mystery, the nativity. What is that fruit? Poverty. We're not talking so much of poverty of finances, but a poverty of allowing God room, date lucum, as St. Ambrose states. Give God room to work and you will see miracles. Even in the midst of hay and of smell and of disorder and of suffering and of disease and of betrayal and of hatred and of evil. The Epiphany for us is out of the blue, left field, God becomes a man. And men recognize him as the Magi come and honor him and do him honor. To deify us. That is the purpose of our lives, that we may become like God. Not God, but that may be like him. That is the gift. That is what is at stake here, my brothers and sisters. We are in the ring. We're being pummeled. We're being hit hard. We have to reflect on that. Who am I? What is my history? Are the questions that man asks. To whom do I belong? Where am I going? What is the end game? What is the end game to my life? And all the disorder that seemingly occurs. We are certainly conscious that man is superior. We are superior to creation. We are like a tiny little universe. We can think of anything. We can dream anything. We dominate nature. We're scientists. We block DNA. We have unlocked the mysteries of the universe. Actually, very little of the universe. When duly considered, we find man to be an incredible being. But we, unlike the cow that you see when you drive around here, or the horse, or the ruminator, they're chewing their cud, they're eating their grass, their peace, their rest is in that. They're totally peaceful. You've seen a cow, he's like, this is great, I'm going to have my grass, I can walk around and poop wherever I want, life is good. Their peace, their rest, rest in that. And in the bugs, and the pollen, and the bees that have all this pollen on their back. They're going around pollinating. They're great. But we're not brute beasts. We are different. We have a soul. It has been stated that we have this human body, but yet the soul is like so different. Like we live in a house, but the house is so different than what we are. I'm not my house. This house, the soul, is so different to what the human frame is. It is so beautiful. It is above and beyond God's crowning achievement, the human soul. And so, my brothers and sisters, this is what God calls us to. We have been destined for heaven. But if we live and degrade ourselves, that if we degrade ourselves and think that we only live for earth, it's great to watch a sunset. It's great to study the marvels. But we're so much more. And what happens, we cannot worship creation. We use creation. We love creation. It gives glory to God. But we cannot degrade ourselves and just staying in the now. We were made for so much more, so much greater. That is why, in the reading of Isaiah, it states so beautiful, "Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow." You know that feeling of throbbing, of seeing something beautiful, of waiting to see your child open a present on Christmas morning, or a sunrise or a sunset. The beauty. And Isaiah says, your heart will throb at what you will see, at what we will be. "For the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of the nations shall be brought to you." That's for you and me. That's for you and I. So it is obedience to God's will, which seems an unlikely road to happiness at times. Indeed, at times it seems to bring us conflict, trial, and many times a great loss. What we lose, though, is far less than what we gain if we do the will of the Father, who wills nothing less than the joy of everlasting life with Him. But again, we're still in the ring, and the fighter can go many rounds and say, "I can't do this fight." It's like a Rocky film. Finishes at the last second, he's able to pummel people. It's Hollywood. But it's not Hollywood with God, because we must always bow down before His holy will. So I close with this. No matter how satisfying or difficult your earthly life may seem, reflect often on the dignity of our humanity and the gift that God wants to give us. A new heaven and a new Jerusalem is coming. He will wipe away all tears from our eyes, Revelation states. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more sadness. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end," He tells us. "I will give water from the well of life free to anybody who is thirsty." This is the original inheritance of the one who is victorious, and I will be his God, and he a son and a daughter to me. We will be like him. We will share his divinity. We will be deified. We can't get out of the ring, but we can fight hard, and we know that we will win.